This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. COVID-19 has shaken up many aspects of our lives, including our relationship with our local food supply. Fears about the virus, long lines, and shortages in grocery stores pushed a lot of us to turn to regional growers for produce and such. But at the same time, restaurant closures and limitations due to COVID mitigation measures have hit some of those same farmers hard. So how are small local food producers adapting to meet the challenges as well as the opportunities presented during this period? Joining Cincinnati Edition now to talk about it are Green Umbrella Greater Cincinnati Regional Food Policy Council Director Michaela Oldfield. Michaela, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Our Harvest Cooperative Assistant Farm Manager, Alex Otto. Alex, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Eden Urban Gardens founder, April Pandora. April, welcome to the show. We have April with us still? Okay, we'll just come back to April. And I believe we've also just connected to Carriage House Farm Manager, Richard Stewart. Richard, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Awesome. In the nick of time. Glad you could join us as well. If you've got questions or comments about local urban farms and local growers and your own personal affection or concerns about them, give us a call. 513-419-7100. You can also email your questions or comments to talk at wvxu.org. Alex, let's start with you. We've focused on a lot of different industries that have been impacted by this pandemic, and it's interesting to look through the lens of local food growers because I think back to a year ago when all this stuff was starting and the way we all raced to the grocery store to try to stock up and the lines were long and a lot of the products we wanted were gone. How did that impact organizations like yours, Our Harvest Cooperative?
Yeah, so it was pretty, I think everybody kind of went into their own personal, emergency, kind of batten down the hatches. And we were no different, like a lot of businesses. And we weren't sure which direction it was going to go. And I think we were pleasantly surprised that the community really rallied around our business and a lot of other, farmers in the region, because, I do think people want to have that connection with their farmer, and regionally and locally. And with, food insecurity and, being surprised that, shelves were emptied so quickly. I think that, lots of people think about local food, but, they might not make that leap into actually connecting with, the farmers, in their backyard sometimes.
Did you find that local community gardens or the urban farmers like you were able to fill gaps in people's grocery lists? I mean, if you went to, your neighborhood Kroger and they were out of eggs because everyone was buying eggs, were they able to turn to a place like you and find what they needed?
Yeah, absolutely. We're at the Northside Farmers Market throughout the year, and we have a CSA that runs, through the year. And so that's where a lot of our customers are getting the majority of their vegetables, and having that dependable weekly service, absolutely huge, especially when you would, go to the store and expect to see, potatoes or eggs and see that they're not there. It really was kind of,
We're going to talk to all of our guests about a similar experience here. And I know that a couple of you supply restaurants, and the impact to restaurants due to COVID-19 mitigation efforts has been immense. And then has impacted you as well. Alex, I understand that Our Harvest Cooperative is not necessarily so dependent on restaurants. You do supply a lot of farmers markets. So we did see some restrictions on farmers markets before they slowly came back online. How did that affect your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was, it's a community effort, a farmers market. And so every effort was made to make that a safe experience. Once again, the demand has increased. And so, as much as we could bring, oftentimes in the winter, in this region, there are different levels of what's available. And so I think just generally through it, whether through the farmers markets or through other places, we've just seen unprecedented demand, from the community.
That's Alex Otto. He's assistant farm manager at Our Harvest Cooperative. Also with us is April Pandora, a founder at Eden Urban Gardens, which is in Avondale, North Avondale, and Pleasant Ridge. April, I understand that a lot of people see community gardens or urban farmers and farmers markets and probably don't consider much about the business model. But what you do is an enterprise. It is a business. And you have been economically hit by this pandemic as well. Can you talk a little bit about your experience in that regard?
That's right. We are a commercial urban farm business that we produce herbs, fruits, and vegetables. And we are USDA certified organic. And we're proud of that. We've worked really hard for that. And we do that so that our neighbors in the communities we serve understand what we're doing and the practices we use. We have been affected mainly by some of the supplies, such as we were building a NRCS high tunnel. And when we had first got an estimate from the supplier, there was one price. And within a period of several months, when we were signing the contract, the rate had gone up $500 because there was a shortage of steel because of COVID. So getting some of the building supplies for us in particular, as we continue to grow our business, you know, that has provided some challenges. Similar to what other people said, you know, increased demand at the farmer's market and from customers, and, you know, we're taking precautions to keep everybody safe. And I think, you know, customers are very appreciative of that.
Do you think when there was that early rush to the groceries, which seemed to last not too long into the pandemic, now that we've spent a year, maybe like the first quarter or the first third of the pandemic, it was a challenge to get through the grocery lines and to find everything that you had hoped to acquire there. Do you think that that has impacted the way local grocery consumers, local produce consumers have thought about where this stuff comes from and how they should go about getting it?
Absolutely. They're having a wake-up call. And not just COVID, but with the changes in the climate, you know, whatever the cause, they're, you know, I think there are going to be other disruptions, and people are starting to realize that and starting to find local sources for their food, because they're realizing if it's being shipped thousands of miles, that's thousands of miles, there could be a disruption along the way versus all of us that are either in, you know, in the area. You know, most of the stuff we produce and we sell is within 10 miles of the sites it's grown. So, you know, we're very central, very community-based. Even other farms that drive in, you know, to a farmer's market, maybe an hour or so, you know, that's still pretty local compared to thousands of miles or being imported.
We heard a lot in national reports about struggles that large rural farm communities have had, not just during the pandemic, but really during any economic cycle. Can you talk about how the challenges related to those farms that we might picture in our mind when we hear the word farm are similar to what urban farms like yours might experience?
Well, I think you're talking, yeah, we're all farmers and that's similar, but I think urban farms kind of fall into a little bit of a different camp, and we have kind of additional things I call the urban effect that affect us uniquely than maybe farms that have more land or have land available through kin or family. I think for us, you know, being a startup urban farm that has not been able to get any sort of traditional financing, that's been our biggest challenge, is securing capital for infrastructure and then finding land that, you know, we can afford. And those challenges are the small areas, you know, for some farmers, but in urban areas, it is very competitive for land, and finding land is definitely been a challenge we faced.
That's April Pandora, founder at Eden Urban Gardens. We're also joined by Richard Stewart. He's farm manager at Carriage House Farm. And I understand that Carriage House Farm had significant business wholesaling to restaurants. And so when last March rolled around and the restaurants were basically shut down to indoor dining and relegated only to takeout and delivery, that hurt you guys.
Yeah, about 85% of our business was wholesale, direct to chefs and small delis, butchers like Bridgetown Finer Meats or Abra Blaze downtown. And clearly that business, I think it was right around March, you know, it was about a week from today, a year ago, the governor announced they were going to shut down indoor dining. And we had a sit-down meeting with our crew and said, listen, we have to change our model overnight. We need to move to a full retail model. Unfortunately, we had already pulled out of all these farmers markets because we were focusing on our own on-farm market or grocery, and then a CSA-style model, which is a community support agriculture shares program where customers buy in at the beginning of the season and get shares distributed throughout the year. So we just kind of hit the ball running, and we happened to have one of our best early season produce harvests in that. And social media was our friend there, and we got the word out that we were open. And we had several friends. One was a hog farmer. One was a beef producer. A couple women that we work with that were hires on the farm produced their own eggs. And we pushed out for a retail food license so that we could sell those items. And suddenly, when Kroger's was running short on things, we had inventory. And everything just kind of grew from that point.
You said Kroger's there, like a true Cincinnatian. I thought that was very cool. Well done.
Yeah, we're located in North Bend, Ohio, and our Kroger's was restocking in the evening. And so if you went to, if you wanted eggs at that time, the first 2 or 3 months, there were no eggs on the shelves at 1 p.m. And we kind of worked with a half dozen egg suppliers in Indiana and around Harrison area, and we had the eggs, and it was just a really odd time.
So I understand that you haven't had to lay anyone off, right? I mean, you have managed to keep swimming in spite of these enormous challenges and the pivot you had to make.
Yes, that is correct. We've kept our head above water and have even expanded some. We went from two full-time people to two additional part-time, those staff members have stayed on throughout the year, even during what would be our down season during the winter time, because we moved to that retail model. Now we're kind of behooving to being a retailer. We can't afford to shut down during the winter time, and so after New Year's, normally we would be closed to the last weekend in March or last weekend in February. This year we opened up second week in January, and we have a food truck that's attached to the farm now that does service, and that all kind of feeds on each other. They use stuff from the farm market stand to sell on the food truck, and then we sell the same proteins that they have on their burgers and pulled pork sandwiches in the store.
That's Richard Stewart. He's farm manager at Carriage House Farm. And we're also joined by Michaela Oldfield, Green Umbrella Greater Cincinnati Regional Food Policy Council Director. Michaela, what have we learned about the local food ecosystem during this pandemic?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we've seen at a local scale is very much reflective of what we've seen at a national scale and is reflective of some of the systems that are in place within our food system. So, you know, generally we have really efficient supply chains that are not that resilient to big catastrophic shifts. And so the lack of food in the retail environments that we were seeing is reflective of those very efficient supply chains, that the food was still out there, but it was intended for the groceries, or it was intended for restaurants and institutions. And when those shut down, the supply chains couldn't shift it over into the groceries fast enough. And what Richard has described with Carriage House Farm is really a sort of incredible success story of how the local regional food system was able to be much more resilient and adaptive to this shock that happened. Although it is also true that a lot of farmers at a local scale who were selling to institutions did struggle with that shift just as much as the large national farmers did.
So I guess now there are questions that other farms like Carriage House are facing. Carriage House sort of answered its own questions. What types of questions are these local farms facing as we start to see a brighter light at the end of this tunnel with the vaccines rolling out?
So I think we are definitely starting to see institutions who had been gearing up to buy local are coming back and wanting to open up those conversations again and being buying from local food hubs and small farms. We've also, I think, seen really an incredible growth in demand for local food at places like farmers markets and through subscription services direct from farms, which are often known as CSAs. And we've seen a lot of consumers learning more about what it means to shop local and to buy seasonally and prepare scratch cooked meals. So I personally am really optimistic that though this has been an extraordinarily difficult year for our food system, the sort of highlighting of some of the weaknesses of it and the opportunities of where there's other assets within our region may translate into more support for and interest in creating a more diverse and resilient food system.
We're going to talk a little bit more about optimism on the other side of this very short break we've got to take. A little later, the locally created guide for how to approach public spaces after this pandemic passes based on what we've learned while living during COVID. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and we continue now with our look at local food sources and the impact of COVID on them. We're joined today by Green Umbrella Greater Cincinnati Regional Food Policy Council Director Michaela Oldfield, Our Harvest Cooperative Assistant Farm Manager Alex Otto, Eden Urban Gardens Founder April Pandora, and Carriage House Farm Manager Richard Stewart. I've got about 5 minutes here, and I want to make sure I touch base with all of you one more time. Michaela, starting with you, you told one of our producers in a pre-interview that there's this idea that if consumers would spend, I don't know, about 10% of their food budget on local places like our other guest establishments, it would have a pretty significant impact on the local economy. Can you explain that to us quickly?
Yeah, we've calculated that if 10% of the consumers in our region shifted about 10% of their food budget, which for a family of four is probably about $15 a week, if they shifted that to buying local, it would translate into about $67 million into our local farm economy.
$67 million, you said?
Yeah, it's $66 to $67 million. That's based on an estimate using Bureau of Labor Statistics and our census data.
And then what would that do? I mean, what tangible evidence would we see as non-farmers that that's a success?
You know, I think we'd see more successful farmers in our region. We'd see more land in our region being converted over to sustainable farming practices. We'd see more successful rural economies where there's stronger, vibrant economies. And we would see, I think, healthier people as we eat more sort of fresh local foods.
Alex Otto from Our Harvest Cooperative, what are your hopes as the, I guess, again, the light is shining brighter at the end of this COVID tunnel?
Yeah, I feel like everything April said is right on. I think that our city, you know, we often think about resources as far as infrastructure, highways, things like that, but we don't necessarily think about how we're creating our food production in the city. And it's just a very difficult thing to make sure that agriculture lands within the city can be utilized in that way. And so I think it would be wonderful, you know, if more people could get involved with that And if there was more, you know, ability for farmers to have that kind of power to gain access to some of those lands, which usually, like April said, are, you know, more found in rural areas or more accessible.
April Pandora of Eden Urban Garden, same question for you. What are you looking forward to this year? What are your hopes?
Looking forward to a new season. A lot of our community we serve, our customers, you know, are really supportive of what we do, and we're happy to serve them. We have very close personal relationships with our customers. And I think that, you know, they have and they do continue to support us, and we continue to get more people who learn about what we do in the city. As a woman urban farmer that, you know, as a startup where we started with very, like, 1,200 square feet and went to a little over half an acre of land we have now, you know, they're interested in our story and they're interested in supporting that. And we've, you know, good reviews on our produce. So we're just happy with that and with the community. You know, we just let people know, you know, we're here to serve you. That's our purpose. And that's kind of our mission, is enriching lives through, you know, quality produce.
Richard Stewart of Carriage House Farm, your goals and hopes for the upcoming year.
My goal is just to keep doing what we're doing. I think we're on the right path. My hope is that as we transition away from a society that's basically kept to themselves for the last year, we start to see interpersonal relationships start to develop again. We've benefited from having an outdoor facility and an environment for people to enjoy themselves during COVID. And we hope to see people realize what they had lost prior to COVID, where, you know, we were racing around for schedules and
we'll slow down a little bit and enjoy some time
slow
together.
Slow down a little bit, smell the flowers, eat some good food.
Great. My thanks to all of you, April Pandora, Richard Stewart, Alex Otto, and Michaela Oldfield. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.